Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. So here we are again, time for New Year's resolutions. I myself have chosen some tough ones, not to eat a giant Toblerone every day, and to begin instead a celery and air diet, which will probably take me through to March to return myself to my original form. I'm sure you have similar ones, but we might be able to find some that are slightly more godly and definitely more realistic in the text today. So I was looking at last year's sermon to see where we were at when we came to the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and I preached to you about identity. I know you all remember it word for word. Identity of Jesus and our identity as his followers. Now, at the time, we were preparing for the conversations we were about to have about who we are as a parish and where we felt we were being called, because we had not yet had any of those conversations to put together the profile, which is now posted. So fast forward to where we are now, and the hard work of the interim discernment has been completed, and the parish profile is out there, so now we wait, like we wait for Christmas. I'm not going to tell you how many days. Waiting, however, does not mean that we should sit and rest to see what happens. We are still the body of Christ with a mission to be Jesus' hands and feet in the world, and I know that you all know this. In some ways, we are waiting, and it's not simply just for the results of a job posting. We wait, obviously, for the return of Jesus, whose arrival among us in human flesh we celebrated just 7 days ago. And we wait faithfully, attempting to live out all that Jesus taught us about who we are in relation to God and in relation to one another. So we meet Mary and Joseph at the temple once more this morning as they attend to what the law prescribed they must do, not just for Jesus this time, but as we know, they went to Jerusalem yearly, and there's that fantastic instance of Jesus just schooling all of the scribes and stuff there at about age 12 later on in the gospel. So this is the first of those two instances where we see them there. So they were faithful people. We already know this. How else could they have come through the dreams, the visions, the angelic visitors, and the journey that they have been on? And now, when they think, you know, well, we've got through it, we've had the baby, let's go do this and we can go home, they encounter Simeon and Anna, who they don't know, who were also waiting patiently for what God had promised. So not so unlike ourselves. Now, anyone else that day might not have noticed Mary and Joseph with their baby son. They would simply have observed a family of modest means with a couple of doves making their way among the crowd, but not Simeon and Anna. Amidst the throng of people, Simeon and Anna had sight that only faithful practice and discernment can provide. They did not see a normal family on their way. They saw beyond the facade of to what was coming, to who was coming, to the potential. They saw the coming of God in a tiny baby, 7 days old, and I imagine barely visible. Now, for us, sometimes when we plan projects, we get bogged down by what the end result should look like. Where will the people come from? How will we finance it? Will the community warm to it? Is this really what the Spirit is calling us to? But sometimes we are blessed with the same sight as Simeon and Anna that day. And I think in the past year, I believe we have been blessed with that sight. We began our work of discerning our call to ministry post-COVID. We were hampered by some of the things that worry many churches and many communities, with people, power, and finances being the two front runners. And what Simeon and Anna teach us this morning is that sometimes the prophetic words and actions of God pop up in unlikely places, in strangers even. Anna was a widow who lived in the temple, fasting day and night, so she didn't have my Toblerone problem. And although we don't hear directly what she had to say, we hear that she is the first to testify to who Jesus is. Does this make her the first evangelist, ladies? I think yes, yes. Now seconded by Mary Magdalene on that first morning. So two for the ladies. She is telling anyone who will listen that who Jesus is, while Simeon speaks directly to his parents, who must have been exhausted and probably pretty stunned just to be approached as though known in a sea of strangers. There is also the first mention of us, of the Gentiles. We are right there in the text. He will be a light unto the Gentiles. And up until this point, and even in his own ministry, as we hear it, as we go through our gospel readings on Sundays and through the year, Jesus said he had come for the lost sheep of Israel. And later, as we know, even he is challenged by people like the Syrophoenician woman to say, well, even the dogs will eat the crumbs. So we are the dogs, or at least the descendants of the dogs. So you're welcome. We are at least, for the most part, the descendants of the Gentiles. And this is part of the miracle of Jesus that we find in today's story, even though it is in a very Jewish, very Hebrew setting. It is already there, the light to the Gentiles, to you and I, the light that we experience each and every day as we walk in this faith. This is the beginning of God going to places that God was not traditionally expected to be. Here, the tables are turned in the temple, not physically, like they will be when Jesus, the adult, drives out the money changers and the sellers, but in a different way. God is for everyone. God is not just for the chosen people of Israel, although they are still incredibly important. This is a huge revelation. And I wonder how Simeon felt when those words came out of his mouth. They are at the beginning of the journey of how each of us came to faith or came to know God in our own way. So from this morning's passage, think of it as though it is a reset, a refresh, a revitalization for the new year. We learn from Simeon, Anna, Mary, and Joseph a few key things which I think make much better New Year's resolutions than trying to give up chocolate, which I haven't found any supporting material for yet, but I believe could be a sin. So, firstly, faith is all you need. Have faith this year. Grab onto it like never before. Rely on God. Lean into God as you have as a community these past 12 months and continue to trust that God is always working for our good. Second, like Mary and Joseph, do as God says. Sometimes we get that little nudge and we don't respond to it right away. I had that little nudge, that little nag to go into the priesthood for like all my sort of teenage years and 20s. And I literally pulled a Jonah and just ran in the other direction. It took me till 28 to actually fill out the form. And the relief, my God, the relief. So listen to God. We find Mary and Joseph following God's instructions from the law, okay? Doing for Jesus and for Mary, although it doesn't get a mention, what was required. Now, Jesus taught us later, as an adult, that the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, mind, body, soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself, adding that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, that is, the law that Mary and Joseph were following that day. Do these things, he says, and you've got it. Mary and Joseph were doing what God had told them and what they, as Hebrew people, had learned about how to be in relation to God. Remember, Jesus couldn't talk yet, so we hadn't got to, like, his summary, okay? So that's the second New Year's resolution. Listen to God and do what he says or what she says. Third, speak about what God has done for you. Like Simeon, don't be afraid to say what you have seen, what you know to be true, and to give thanks to God for revealing it. Sometimes We think, oh gosh, how are we going to find somebody to teach Sunday school? Still one opening left for that, folks. Shameless plug. You might be looking around and thinking, you know, so-and-so has got a real gift for that. I can just see them doing that as an amazing job. That's a Simeon moment. Go and tell that person. Sometimes people need to be told, hey, mate, you're really good at that. Get into it. Okay? So speak about what God has done for you. Don't be afraid of being thought as, you know, a bit odd or a bit crazy. We're all a little bit crazy. This is like Wonderland. We're all a little mad here, but we're mad for God and we're mad together, so it's okay. We have come such a long way as a community in these past 12 months with the ministries that have erupted from our work together thanks to the Spirit. So let's give thanks for that this year. Fourth, proclaim it. Yes, testimony. Cold shudder around the Anglican Church. Testimony. Be like Anna. Proclaim what you have seen and heard in this place. Even if it's as simple as saying, hey, we've got an event going on at our church this week. Or, hey, you got any time this Friday? We need some volunteers for the garden. That is soft evangelism. That is proclaiming what is happening here. That is proclaiming what the Spirit is doing. You don't have to go down to Granville Street in Vancouver with a placard that says the end is nigh and scream repent at scared passers-by. You don't even have to do it on Marine Avenue here. Although, $10 for anybody who fancies giving it a try, because, I mean, who doesn't want to see that once, right? No, seriously. Proclaim it. I'll go first. Proclaim it. Okay? Speak about what God is doing through the Spirit in Jesus with all of you right here. Look at what has happened in these past 12 months. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. If we do all of the things that are modeled for us by the holy people that we encounter in today's text, not only will you not have to give up chocolate or whatever your edible fix is, but you will be striving, we will be striving to live in a way that pours the love of God out to God and to our neighbors. And we will also be presenting Jesus to people right here in Powell River. And it will feel effortless because the Spirit is already the wind beneath our wings. People will start to see more than a cooing Caucasian baby on a Christmas card. All we have to do is say, look, there is more to this story. It may have started in a manger, but it's happening right here, right now in Powell River. Come and see. So may we all find the words and the courage to keep these resolutions as these holy people did, and continue to be the Gentiles for who the light came as well and for and because the light loves us. Amen.